Item 16, workshop and possible discussion on strategic plan and long-range financial plan and proposed FY 2014 operating budget by John Hawes and Jim Forte.
Hey, this is the our presentation, and I'll do the first part of this, and then Jim will come and talk about a little more of the long-range and strategic planning activities. But I'll start out. Obviously, y'all received the fiscal 14 budget with your materials and stuff, and I'll go through several slides here just to summarize some of the things. And obviously, at any point, if you'd like to stop me and ask any detailed questions or anything, certainly do so, and we'll do so. But I'll sort of hit the highlights and hopefully answer any satisfaction, any questions you might have. Yes.
I'd like to tell you what a great job y'all did in putting this together. I mean, obviously, I didn't go through the whole thing, but there's a lot of information here. No, I don't know. You did. Sure, I didn't. Maybe I should admit that. I didn't read every page, but it's a great collection of information. Kudos to your whole team.
Thank you very much. It's really a collaborative effort, but I'd single out Michelle Jouar here is our budget director who coordinates all of it over here. But it starts with, as y'all saw in the budget calendar, it starts really all the way back in January with collecting information throughout the organization and pulling it together to get to the final document. Thanks very much. Next slide. Our mission, as everybody knows, next slide. This is just an overview of the water supply system for this year, for fiscal 13. We started this year with about $58 million in unrestricted reserves. We are projecting about an $8 million surplus this year on our operating budget. As I explained earlier, most of that's from, over half of that's from sale of interruptible water and things like that. So that's where most of that comes. You can see the capital expenditures we're projecting this year, about $13 million to spend, and you can see sort of the summary of the type of items that we are spending this year, and we'll continue through really the end of this next month, through the end of August. We've just got 1 month to go, which would bring us to an ending balance of approximately $53 million as we project. And it'll be a little different than that, but that's our best projection at this particular point. So a little more $53 million. Go to the next slide. So you start with that $53 million in the next fiscal year, which, of course, is September 1st. Our budget assumes a surplus of just about $900,000. That is basically so that we meet our bond covenant requirement of what's really our board mandated requirement of 1.3 times coverage. So we have to create a surplus there of that, and that's what that $900,000 is. So that's our projected surplus. Then you can see the capital expenditures. We've got a significant number of capital expenditures. In a minute, I'll show you a slide with a little more detail on it. Obviously, all of those capital expenditures are detailed in your budget book, and there's actually a page for every single project that are represented there that hopefully explains well the project and the time frame and all that. But that's a summary of it right there. You can see some of our significant ones. A fair amount of dam and bouquet dam improvements go. The Lake Granbury Dam improvements is another one sort of in the middle, $2.7 million. SysOps permit, which you've heard about, is spending this next year as we go through hearing processes and things like that. Trinity Groundwater pilot project that we're already starting right now, we'll continue to work on this next year. Grand Flood Control, working on trying to finalize that project, bring it to conclusion. And then some improvements in the central office, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that here toward the end of.
This is for
next year.
Fiscal year 14,
yes, sir.
We're going to spend another $2.7 million on central office next year.
And we'll talk, but yes, sir. But one of the items coming up is the majority of that. But then there's also and I'll show you in a minute. There, $700,000 of that is a new financial system, a new financial system that we're looking at that we might implement to replace our losses system. We don't know that yet. We're just studying it right now, but we put it in there in case we do that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. But yes, sir, that's what that is. Bring it down to a little over $34 million. If we spend all those to do all those things, that's where we would be at the end of fiscal 14. Next slide. This is just showing the breakdown of the $34 million that we'd have at the end of the year. We have basically four categories of reserves there, a self-insurance fund of just about $500,000, working capital $7.6 million down at the bottom right. It represents 90 days of our working capital that we maintain, and a contingency fund of $5 million, really sort of emergency fund, and then a rate stabilization, the remainder is in a rate stabilization fund of some $20 million. So that's how it's broken down. That's consistent with the reserves policy that the board adopted back in 2005 as far as establishing those particular reserve buckets, if you will. Next slide. Okay, as we look real quick into the fiscal 14 budget in a little detail. Again, two main categories, as we all know here, water supply and cost reimbursable. You can see that in the middle one, the cost reimbursable is going to represent about $14 million of expenses and revenue. That this next year, on the water supply side, you can see it's about $37 million in revenues and creating the surplus, as I mentioned, in the capital improvement. So it's sort of the same numbers that we looked at just a minute ago. Next slide. This is a breakdown of the revenues, where the revenues are going to come from total, including water supply and cost reimbursable. You see the three biggest pieces of the pie. The yellow one, obviously, is our raw water system sale. That's raw water we sell at system rate. In a minute, you'll see a slide that breaks that down a little bit more, and you can see a little bit more about that. But that is at our system rate. The purple slide is the cost reimbursable. As you can see, that we're getting paid back from those nine contracts. And then the other larger piece in blue is the remaining raw water that we sell at non-system, and that's primarily utilities, Colorado Water, two-tier rate water, some fixed price. Those are under older and different contracts than our system contracts, most of which will expire over time. They will expire over time and ultimately move to system rate. So that blue will ultimately become yellow over time. We'll move into the yellow category as those expire. And you can see the other pieces, the other wastewater treatment, really represents two things. Sugar Land, that's our operation at Sugar Land, and for the city of Georgetown, which you just heard about a minute ago, those two. And treated water is our East Williamson County project that's in the green. Lake Operations is fees and lease revenues that we get, which has gone down significantly since we sold our residential leases in the divestiture, and then also have eliminated the dock fees that the board approved at the last meeting has gone down, so it's about $1 million a year. Next slide.
I have a question on that.
Yes.
Slide.
Yes.
$10 million in management fees, right? Well, just the management fee of the Williamson County wastewater system was about a half. Oh, this is for the. I'm sorry. This is for the. Sorry, I had the term.
No, that's fine. Okay. That management fee, it's a good point. That $500,000 represents basically comes from approximately the cost reimbursable contracts. That's the fee that we put in there that we get from managing those contracts and operating the water and wastewaters associated with those. It does include, part of that is the raw water line. The raw water line is an element of that. It's not all of it, but
about
it's an element of that.
$100,000.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's one of the fees. Thanks. And there's the breakdown right there as we're talking about cost reimbursable. That shows the contracts we have, or at least the properties that we manage. You can see the three biggest ones, Brushy Creek, which, of course, serves primarily Round Rock and some other communities in that area, is the largest. The raw water line, you can see up there at $3.4 million that serves those customers. And then the Temple Belton that we operate there. And then you can see the smaller ones there that we also have, Clute, Richwood, Hutto, Sandy Creek, and like and stuff. So that just sort of shows how those break down. Next slide. Back on the revenue summary, I may have alluded to this already, but really the main difference between 13 and 14, you can see that revenues are up a little more than $1 million, $1.2 million approximately. It's really in two categories. The non-system revenues are up about $800,000 that you see. Well, actually, I'm sorry, it's three categories. I should highlight system, too. It's gone up $1 million itself. But the two, non-system has gone up about $800,000. That's two things. The utility customers, Lake Limestone, we're doing some improvements out at Lake Limestone, capital improvements. Under our agreements with our utility customers out there, they reimburse us for some of those. So that's a revenue source for us to basically offset the expenditures there. So that's why that's going up, is we got some expenditures. Lake Operations, I alluded to, actually is going down. That's the dock fees. That's the reduction from taking the dock fees out and stuff. And then the other big thing that's going up is system water, and that's due to the rate increase. And you'll see that in just a minute. So that's what makes that. So All right, now as you look at long-term water, this shows the, just the breakdown of where on the long-term water side, we have about 670,000 acre-feet under contract. Really currently this year, it's virtually the same as last year. And you can see the breakdown, how much is 44% system rate, and utilities is the other big category of it. And again, utilities, we've got a couple of contracts in the utilities, one of which expires in 15 and one of which expires in 16, so they're not that far away. So there's going to be about 100,000 acre-feet that's going to migrate from the utility piece of that pie over to the system piece of it. Next slide. This is the same information, just showing it numerically. You can see the comparison between 13 and 14 for the different categories. You can see our average price system rate, or our current price, is $62.50. We're proposing a $65.65, which is a 5% increase. You'll see the information on that in a minute. The ag rate goes up correspondingly. It's 70% of the system rate, so it moves up with the system rate. The others remain have much less of a change. You can see they haven't changed. Those are some of those old contracts that are legacy, and they have very slow incremental changes associated with it.
Hey, John.
Yes.
I know at the last board meeting we approved $67.50 for the system-wide rate. We used $65.65. What was the thought process that went into that?
It was $66.50, I believe, yes, or when that we talked to you in April, and we were able to come down some because we had put in there some of it was legislative stuff that we thought we were going to have to spend some money on and stuff, and I put in as a sort of a placeholder. Some of that didn't happen, so we were able to pull some of those costs out and bring some of that down a little bit. And a few other just savings in areas as we finalized the budget, we were able to do that. So just a few things brought it down, a little less than a dollar less.
Well, and you know, again, my concern on it is you look at the reserves, and I've expressed it before, they continue to go down. And I know we can't escalate our rate rapidly enough to keep up with it, but are we being prudent with not taking full back?
Taking high? Yes, we're always looking at just toward having to balance, obviously, the rate versus the reserves, and that's a very good point, and we talk about that internally also. I feel like that our reserves are still at an adequate, even at $35 million at the end of next year, that will still be an adequate reserve things. We obviously look at that each year. Certainly, there's, you know, our customers' expectations is we only charge them what we really have to charge them. But you're right, it's a give and take between what's the rate and what's the reserve levels is what are the two things.
I just watch it spend money around here, and I think, yep, golly, you know, we have one other major hickey, and our reserves are going to go down a whole lot more. So,
yes, sir.
If the ability to obtain a permit timing was any less than 40 years, 40 or 50 or 60 years than it is now, we would probably push to increase the rate more. But as John said, there's got to be a balance. For every nickel that we'd like to raise it, the customer would like to reduce it by a dollar. And so it's a balance, and we have to be able to articulate what we're going to use that for.
All right. I'm sorry.
And we will also say this in a second. Well, I mean, we do anticipate that in some of the divestiture coming up, we are going to get some funds. Ultimately, I'd assume we get through the decommissioning and divesting some of the PK, we'll get some funds associated with that when that happens. So that we'll be able to replenish some of our reserves that way, too.
John, what's the difference in the units, the system rate units?
I'm sorry, which one?
The units, the almost 2,000 difference in the fiscal year 2013.
Oh, in the first line on the system rate,
uh-huh,
where they go down. Most of that is associated with one customer. The city, I believe it's the city of Keene, returned some water back to us, uh-huh, this year. And so that water we put in reserves, we've not resold at this point. We're holding it in our emergency reserves. So we've got our emergency reserves, which were only a couple of thousand units, are now about 4,000 units. So we're sort of holding that. So we've increased our reserves of unsold water a little bit to hold that.
Okay, and that's not reflected.
That's not sold here. Yes, and that's why it's gone down a couple of thousand. We're just holding. We could sell if we have to, but I think we're just holding on to it, thinking it's better to do so. So
you've got two utility contracts expiring in 15 and 16,
yes,
that will go into the system rate.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
Next, in fact, go to the next slide, and I'll show you. I think the next slide shows us. Shows it's those first two up there that you can see one associated with Lake Limestone and the other with is the Lake Granberry PK related. And you can see those expire. Now,
let's make clear it's our position that those will transition.
Well, I mean, sure.
I'm sure the people across the table from us will at least try to say, no, we gave it the office.
That's right. Well, that's right. They have contracts that basically say they can extend them, but there are certain ways they can extend
the utilities.
They have.
But now, did we have some expire for this year as well?
No, we don't have any of the we don't have any of those of the non-system rates expiring in this
year. So how did that two-tier average go up? I thought those were fixed.
There is an incremental increase on the two-tier. Okay. Two-tier can go up a little bit.
Okay.
There's a formula built into that stuff. And if people convert, I'm not sure they has, but if they convert from their reservation water to activated water, it'll also go up that way. So there's going to be.
Just the NRG.
Okay. So any questions? You can see the ones that those contracts. That represents those.
You should ask them.
Six represent about 74% of our non-system rate. Okay. Next slide. Looking at turning to the operating expense side, we sort of talked about this before, but that's the breakdown. It's about $50.1 million. You can see the biggest piece is obviously in the water supply system, the O&M cost in green, and then there's the cost reimbursable. You can see in purple again, and then the debt service associated with the water supply system of a little over $5 million. And then there's some project expenditures we put in our operating budget. Next slide. I think this just talks about the assumptions there for this year. From a comp and benefits standpoint, we have under the index that we use, 1.01% increase authority-wide, which will be effective September 1st if the board approves the budget, and then a performance incentive pay of 4% that will be based on performance issues and things like that that will be done. That will actually be paid out. When that's done, I think that's effective either December or January. December 1 is when that would become effective.
John, have you got the health insurance renewals yet?
Yes. We're self-insured, as you know.
I understand.
We're self-insured, but we've had our discussions with that. We increased the employee rates just slightly. And our health insurance, quite frankly, has been going up the last few years. Our costs, as you all may remember, we've had extremely good experience up until about 2 or 3 years ago. And now, just like we sort of expected, it sort of ebbs flows and we're having some higher costs there. But we had built up a reserve, a very nice reserve from those down years, and so we're using that reserve up right now. So we really haven't had to increase our budget. At some point in the next few years, that may be an issue that will cause some pressure and will cause us to have to increase and increase our rates, quite frankly, because you will have to increase your rates associated with that.
Have any of the relationships given you any thought or input on the new Obamacare cost?
They have. TML, who we utilize, and Monica can talk to that more than I can, but who we utilize, who's our administrator, we have extensive meetings and communications with them and have helped us to plan for that. A lot of that has not really kicked in quite yet.
I understand, but it's coming.
But it's coming, yes. You can see the benefits increase. Really, as I said, the health insurance was not a big piece of the increase that for 14. I think it could be in some future years, but it was primarily increasing retirement plan. And those of y'all that are on the retirement plan committee have seen that in when we reduced the targeted rate, and that caused the required contribution to go up and those type of things. So on the headcount, we've actually reduced 2 full-time positions and 3 part-time positions overall in the authority. So on a net basis. So not too much change there, but a reduction there. Next slide. This is just showing the O&M expenses broken down. There's a highlight. I highlighted the ones where there was a little bit of a change in it. There's really only about 4 of those that there's a fairly significant change. The first one, Lake Limestone up there, is highlighted, is going up. And I'd already mentioned we're going to do some significant expenditures of some improvements at Lake Limestone. Again, most of which we do get reimbursed from our energy customers there. But we're doing some improvements to the facility, the dam facility, in the area out there. So that's why that's going up. The other ones are a little more minor. They're mainly materials and supply costs and maintenance costs and some of the other ones. The Federal Reservoir one, in water contracts, you see it's up about, right sort of in the middle there, is going up about $500,000, a little less than that, $450,000 roughly. Has to do with Corps of Engineers has a little bit of higher O&M cost. We also have in there Brazos G, which we actually get reimbursed for also. So there's some on the revenue side, we get some of that back, but there's some higher costs there that's a pass through that is going up there too. And then some of the other areas are up there, and most of them are associated with some of the comp and benefits type things I talked about are sort of rolled through there and stuff make the difference. The projects that I mentioned to you, only about $1.2 million this year, which is approximately what they were budgeted last year, that are actually in the operating budget. One thing I'll point out, the recreational development, the PK recreational development number that we spend, we do raise money on the revenue side there that helps to offset that. Those other costs, and some of those are continuation, a couple at Lake Granbury, and then some other ones that are continuation of some projects we were working on this year and stuff. They're in the operating part of the budget that are not in the capital part of the budget. Next slide. This is the slide, and when we were at our water customer meeting a week or so ago, this is the slide where I was showing them how you actually come up with the rate, the formula. You basically take all your expenses, for O&M debt service and project expenses, then you have to make room for your debt coverage. You have to create a surplus. In this case, $900,000, not a very big surplus, but you create a surplus. Then you back out the revenues that are not system water related, as we've talked about before, and you basically come down in the middle column. It requires $20 million. $20.1 million is the amount of money that you need to raise from your system water customers. And so you take that, next slide, you take that and you divide the $20 million by the number of acre feet of contracts that you have for the next year in fiscal 14, both long and short term. You may have remembered the long term were about 294, I think, thousand, and the short term were about 11,000. So that's 306,000 roughly. You divide that into it and it says your required rate, you got to set your rate at 65-65. That's an increase of 5%, as it says. We have not increased our rate for 3 years, so that's the first increase in 3 years, but a 5% increase there. Next slide. Real quick on the turn to the capital side, I alluded to the total spend right now on capital is about $23 million, of which about $20 would be from our reserves, and then the remaining $3 million would be reimbursed by customers. That's primarily on the you'll see in just a sec. We'll go to it. You'll see that. Next slide. That's the project. A summary of them. Again, some of those I've grouped together and summarized. Again, there's detail in your book of every one of them, but that's a pretty good summary of the spend for those projects for this next year.
Most of those projects are already started.
A lot. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah. PK property management, like for instance, that's some of the survey that you just approved. Some of that survey cost will be in this year, but we only got a month to go in the year. So most of that survey cost is going to be in that project, as an example there. PK dam improvements, obviously we continue to do dam improvements, PK, and that continues. Some of the dam improvements are actually in the operating budget, and some are in the capital budget, depending on the type of improvements we're talking about. Remaining decommissioning, you can see the other big ones, DeCordova Bend, still significant improvements next year on the low-flow facilities. Grand flood control, I mentioned. Trinity groundwater, continuation of that, and system.
So Allen's Creek, we're contemplating.
Well, we're just guessing at completion date of 2018.
That's still some study stuff, and John could talk to that. But, I mean, the Allen's Creek, we're... completion date. It's 20. Well, we just put 2018 plus.
Yeah,
I don't really put the real dates. I should change that in the future, and where we know later dates, it'll give you a better thing. Okay. But that was. Plus. That's right. Okay. But you can see.
Well,
yes.
It's like a pretty big number for Trinity groundwater. What's included in all that?
30 million. The total number, the project number, the 30 million for the Trinity Grill.
Ultimately, up to 7 wells. Do we go south towards out of the area that we're at?
It includes purchase of land.
That's the plan.
Where are we on the test well?
Purchase of land.
It might be going today. Start drilling today.
Just drilling wells.
John, what's the final, what's it, 7, we think, 7 or 8,000, think we got that?
Yes.
Per well?
No, net.
Huh?
Net.
No, net.
John, that's no land purchase, that's leasing.
No, ma'am, we haven't gotten that far.
That's just the wells, how much it costs to put down those 7 wells?
That includes purchasing the well site and the appropriate easements to be able to put the pipes and everything.
Allen's Creek, obviously that number, the big number there includes our share, our 30% share. That's about a $250 million project total. Any questions on that? Next slide. This is the remaining capital projects that are really paid for by others. You can see up there some that are grant local funded, and the other big things are the things I mentioned at the Lake Limestone. Are some things, or the projects we're doing at Lake Limestone stuff. So you can see there, and then the raw, and then some highway relocation work that you guys have already heard about today. So, okay, next slide. This just gives you a snapshot of our debt, our current debt outstanding, and a comparison here at the end of this year. Not a lot of change in it. $112 million. You know, we had a pretty aggressive. In 11 and 12, we paid off significant portions of our debt with our reserves that we had primarily from the divestiture project. So we've paid it down, but you can see what's left there. So the reason why I'll point out that the one that sort of went up, the Federal Reservoir line, you might wonder, well, why is that going up? Well, that has to do with the ARRA project, the American Reinvestment Recovery Act. That when the federal government, through the stimulus program that started a few years back, they allocated a bunch of money to various parts of the federal government. One of them was the Corps of Engineers, got a whole bunch of it. And so they programmed, in our case, 4 of our reservoirs were ARRA had ARRA projects. And so the federal government is working on those projects. As we speak, they have not finished any of them yet. But when they finish any of those projects, we will actually be obligated to pay a pro rata share of that project, because we have storage rights in those, and so we have a percentage. It depends on the reservoir you're talking about. So that's why that's going up by some part is our obligation, what we expect to be our obligation there. It's an estimate at this point. Next slide. Okay, last area is the financial forecast. This is just a 5-year look forward. Next slide. That's just sort of the assumptions stuff there that we put on the revenue side. Next slide. On the expense side, we use for that purposes just sort of some indexes and just sort of average what expenses are going to do. Next slide. You can sort of see where it takes us. Again, the first year is the year we're talking about here, and not a whole lot of changes, although you do see out there revenues in 16 and 17 up there, you see an increase in revenues. That's the assumption that some of those water contracts are going to move to a system contract out there in the future, which still will be determined, but that's what we're expecting at this point. So anyway, you can see we'll manage some of that. This doesn't assume any proceeds, divestiture proceeds, which we expect we'll get at some point.
Or SysOps.
Right. It doesn't have any sale of water from SysOps and stuff.
Also includes an incremental cost in the water too, doesn't it?
Yes, if you go to the next slide, this is my last slide, I think. This just assumes a very nominal increase in water. Now, it could very well need to be higher, like things like health insurance you were talking about, and some other costs that as those unfold, we may need to raise the rates higher than that. But it just shows, given those assumptions, those index assumptions that we have, here's what it need to be and maintain the coverage. So it's certainly nothing we're committing to, but it just gives you a look forward of it. So. I think that was the last slide. So, Anybody has any questions? Otherwise, I'll...
John, I've got a question.
Yes.
I want to make sure I understand cost reimbursables. Could you explain that?
We have some 8 or 9 contracts. They're either water or wastewater contracts that we don't own the facilities, basically, but we have contracts to operate them for, and they're operated, the contracts we have are on a cost reimbursable basis, so whatever it costs us to operate, we get to add some overhead in most cases to them, and a management fee that has been negotiated, and that's what we get reimbursed for. So they're basically cost reimbursable. In some cases, we have a management fee, so we have a little bit of a margin. We get above the reimbursable portion, but that's...
It's the same revenue and expense on your list.
That's right. That's because the way I show it is because it's a wash. Whatever the expense is, we get reimbursed for. But then I also show as a revenue source management fee. There was a little sliver of a line that was $500,000. That represents the margin we get, if you will, from those contracts. Okay, that we get to charge to get, which is above and beyond the actual cost. The rest of it, the reimbursement is simply what our cost, just reimbursement of our actual costs. So that's why they're that way.
Is there any reason those contracts seem to be grouped in the Central Basin?
Just historically that we had other ones, by the way, in the past. SWATS was a cost reimbursable contract. WMRs, the sewage treatment plant in Waco, was a cost reimbursable contract. Lake Allen Henry was a cost. When we built Lake Allen Henry, that was a cost reimbursable operations contract we had there. And in fact, one point Sugar Land was a cost reimbursable before it's gone to a different thing. So,
but to answer that question is a lot of the municipalities that own those, once they are, we put the initial front end money in there, and then once they get and they buy it, they want to take back control of it. And that's kind of happened through the year.
All right. Thank you.
I'll try to be brief. Next slide. We're in kind of a transitional area when it comes to long-range planning. The 2016 state water plan is under development right now. Going to be influenced by two pretty significant elements. One, we have 2010 census, which validates some of the population numbers that have been used in the past. And we've got a 2 or 3 year drought, and we think that's going to influence projects going into that plan and also the timing of those projects. We've been looking at potentially feasible water management strategies in-house, and have got a couple that we're going to identify to the regional planning groups that we think can create some water. Those will be submitted next month. They go to the Water Development Board after they're vetted on the regional level in January, and then the entire plan is completed in November of 2015, and the State Water Development Board, whoever they are at that time, will adopt it in December 2016. This is just an overview of what the inputs into our long-range financial plan are. Of course, we have our strategic plan, and John's presentation showed our mission at the very first of it. We take our long-range projects, some of those projects that John was just talking about, put them all into a model, and try to forecast what our system rate will look like into the future. Projects that we've got potentially planned right now, we've been refining this with what we've seen over the last year or so. We've removed some of the projects out of here that are alternate strategies in the regional water planning documents, and just focusing on those which are primary water supply strategies. Still about $1.5 billion over the next 50 years. next slide. And you can see here visually that they're still pretty much back end loaded, but we expect a number of those projects that are out in the 2030-2040 time frame to be moved forward with the effects of the drought and the 2016 plan. And that's why, like I say, we're in kind of a holding pattern with respect to what we can forecast on. Next, this is our contracts. John mentioned the two that we thought were going to, that we feel pretty securely are going to convert to system rate. That's the green line across the middle. And you can see here down at the red line at the bottom that, again, as John mentioned, other than the little reserve that we have almost no inventory of sales of water. We're going to use this opportunity, next slide, to blend in the effects Finally acquiring the system operation permit. We developed the water management plan that we submitted to TSEC in November of 2012, and it included two scenarios. One scenario followed the state water plan, which for Brazos G commits roughly 70,000 acre feet of water to Comanche Peak 3 and 4, and then commits another 50,000 acre feet of water to municipalities both in Brazos G and Region H areas. So we still have a little bit of inventory early on, but as you can see, with just this permit out though 10 or 15 years from now, we still would not have any water to sell. Next slide. This is what we were talking about, the utility contracts. If you look at the orange bars in the middle, the red bars are system rate units, the orange bars are those utility contracts, and you see about 100,000 acre feet of that converting here in a couple of years, and then them going entirely away in 2030. The blue bars are two-tier contracts, the sub-market price that we talked about, again, that inflate by a function and a fraction of the CPI, and those unfortunately don't go away until 2042. Next slide. This is our dashboard. We've used it before. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time looking at the various panels, but what I wanted to do is focus on where we were forecasting the system rate to go last year, again, with the back-end loading of our projects. This year, it looks a little bit better on this slide. The slope, next slide. The slope comes down just a little. We lose a little bit of the hockey stick. But again, what we wanted to show was that now that we know about how much water we're going to sell out of the permit once we get it, we're going to show you the implications of putting that water to use. Next slide. This is if we go with according to the state water plan, you can see when you sell roughly 70,000 acre feet of water, and we expect that sale to occur as soon as the permit is and that water is available. It takes the early years of the forecast system and more or less stabilizes the rate for several years, and then brings it down pretty significantly out in the out years. The alternate that we looked at, next slide. In the water management plan was, what if we don't sell water to Comanche Peak, where we expected that 70,000 acre feet of water would be contracted for immediately? And our alternative was looking at, what if you sold it to municipalities, either in the upper, in the middle part of the basin, or especially in the lower part of the basin? Our contemplation is that those municipalities won't buy that water quite as aggressively as a single industrial user would, and so you can see there in the first 5 years or so, the blue line actually being a little above where we would expect it to be with the Comanche Peak purchase. But in general, they kind of run parallel with the system rate actually going down under the municipal and lower basin assumption, because if you remember what we talked about with the permit, the lower in the basin you sell that water, the more of that water we have because of the productivity of the entire basin. So under a municipal scenario and a lower basin scenario, we actually have more water to sell, and thus a little bit more revenue generation, and the system rate comes down accordingly.
That again.
The modeling that we do on our system operation permit. If you take 70,000 acre feet of water out of Lake Granbury to meet Comanche Peak 3 and 4, it takes the productivity of that water and it actually multiplies. If you remember, the original permit that we applied for said that we would, if you took all the water at the Gulf of Mexico, you could generate 421,000 acre feet of water. But if you take it further up in the basin, you have less. And I'm not a hydrologist, and these guys over here, hopefully.
So does evaporation play into that?
No, sir. Evaporation is the same. It's just that you don't have the ability, and my understanding is you don't have the ability to dispatch that water out of those reservoirs and meet those needs, because you've dispatched it out of that reservoir first. If you use that for lower the lower basin needs, you've got the productivity of all of our basin downstream of all of our reservoirs that can meet those needs sooner. It's just that, but those needs can't be met upstream of our reservoirs, and it's that demand on Lake Granbury that really, really influences how the water availability in the model is. So we looked at those two competing scenarios. One, if you go with the state water plan and a big slug of water being sold out of Granbury, the other, smaller amounts of water being sold to a number of different entities in the lower basin. Okay. It's a subtlety of modeling, and again, I can't.
Well, I got the concept.
I can almost talk it. Matt Phillips does a much better job.
But he's not volunteering. I wouldn't admit that.
Okay. But it, like I say, there's just some subtleties, and you pick up a little bit more water that can you sell in the lower basin. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Jim, I was looking at your third slide, where you showed some summary information.
Yes, sir.
About projects across the screen there. I certainly understand the intensity of the need for new water, but do I recognize the numbers right? That's all in thousands. That's 1 billion?
1.5 billion, but yeah, $1.4 billion.
Right, and at 2020, we're looking at 200 million. And
That's our share of Allen's Creek. Right, go to the next slide, Nancy.
Okay, so that's back. Allen's Creek Reservoir.
This right here is the impact of our share of Allen's Creek, and another strategy that we're looking at that we haven't quite fully vetted yet, but there's two strategies that we could implement right here, one of which would be Allen's Creek, and the other one is another one that we're still researching. That's the soonest we think we could actually create more storage, more water supply in the basin would be this 2020-2025
time. Big numbers.
Yes, sir. And I think they'll be even bigger with the 2016 water plan.
And with the changing in the with the drought, the change of the numbers that we use to figure this, that adds to the complexity and the uncertainty of the crystal ball that we are forced to look into. And but it's going to have an impact on population. It's going to have an impact on economic development of the state. Hopefully the study that we're doing will talk about, and I think it's bigger than the Brazos Basin. I think it needs to be statewide. But there's got to become an appreciation for the importance of water and how we live and how it impacts what we take for granted. Because we do take it for granted. And the people of Granbury think that they'll have a full lake. Next case. And so do the people of, I read an article, people of down in Austin, they think the same thing.
San Antonio.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.